The Marble Hill Church of God Seventh-day Fellowship presents The Way It Ought to Be, with the good news of the kingdom of God coming to the earth and how you may prepare for it and avoid the calamities just around the corner.
This is Pete Hornbuckle with The Way It Ought to Be program. Satan set out from the Garden of Eden, from the beginning of man, man's homeland, to counteract, counterfeit, and destroy the plan of salvation for mankind, and to make himself the pagan, the counterfeit god of mankind. He did that by deception. He did not do it openly, above board, in a visual sense, where you could see and know your enemy and could fight against him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning verse 11, or that's the only verse that we want here, is verse 11. Notice what Paul had to say. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. Lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. And that's the problem that this world has. We're ignorant of Satan's devices. We don't know Satan. We don't know how he works. But we should know how Satan works. We should know what he's up to. And that's what I intend to speak about today. We've made two broadcasts already on this topic. One of his devices is that he attacks every time he sees an opportunity. That's what he did. As soon as God gave him an opportunity to attack Adam and Eve, he went for it. Every time we open the door, or every time God gives him an opportunity, he attacks. That's what he did in the garden. Adam and Eve were with God in the garden, having no troubles, no problems whatsoever. We are with God in his church. If you're in the church of God, you are with God. If you're obeying God, you are with God. Satan strikes when he sees an opportunity. He left Christ, as the Bible tells us, until an opportune time. He gives up and leaves, but he always counterattacks. Something that we should realize is that he is still trying very diligently to make we, the church of God, like himself. He doesn't like it when he sees anyone taking his nature off of him, taking Satan out of him, undressing himself of Satan's way. Now we do that by the power of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Notice what Peter had to say in 1 Peter 5, beginning in verse 1. He gives much admonition here to the shepherds that are shepherding the flock, that teaching the flock of God, that's preaching and publishing a warning and a repentance message and the gospel of the kingdom of God that's coming to this earth. The elders who are among you, I exhort. I, who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. He says, shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock, yes, living a righteous life, living by the word of God and teaching the word of God. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. And he says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. That's what God is doing in those that serve him. He is clothing us with humility. We don't think that we're too proud or that we know too much to obey our God. He goes on here in verse 5, he says, for God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. In verse 8, he continues, he says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Yes, my friend, if you're trying to obey God, Satan is after you. He has the world as a whole following him. So he doesn't have to pay too much attention to them except those that are out front leading the world in his direction. But if you're obeying God, he is after you. He wants you back. He said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. That's what he began to do in the Garden of Eden. He's still up to the same thing, trying to destroy everything that God stands for. And he's trying to destroy you. If you stand for God, if you're with God, he's trying to destroy you. It says, resist him, steadfast in the faith. Yes, that's the way you resist him. You continue to obey God. You continue to know and realize that God's way is right, and you hold to it, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after you have suffered a while, yes, we suffer in Satan's world. We suffer trying to live God's way. So did all of the others down through history that lived God's way. Many gave their life because they wouldn't recant. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. God is trying to make his church like him, as perfect as we can be in the human flesh, but trying to perfect us. Yes, building his mind, his attitude, and his character in us. Says to him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Satan is trying to destroy the body of Christ. He no doubt gives us, the body of Christ, those that are trying to obey God, more attention than he does most other people, except those out front working his agenda, guiding the world in his path. He sees to that. He sees that his path is broad and is open, and that most people are traveling it. He isn't going to give up his world, at least voluntarily. Now, he is going to give up his world, but it's going to be taken away from him. Jesus Christ is going to return, crowned as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he's going to take this earth away from Satan and away from stubborn and rebellious mankind. He isn't going to give up on you and me either. As long as we are alive and serving God, he isn't going to give up on us. Now, how was his world before and at the time of the flood? Now, bring that up because Christ did say, as it were in the days of Noah and in the days of Lot. Of course, Lot's on this side of the flood. But he said, as it were in those days, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. In the end time, my friend, which we are in, prophecy is being fulfilled. Let God tell us himself how it was in the days of Noah and in the days of Lot. In Genesis 6, verse 5, here's what God saw. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Yes, man's intentions were only evil all the time. He was evil-minded. Does that sound like the world that we're living in, my friends? What's happening in the Middle East? No care for anyone. Blow them up, root them out. What do we see and hear in our own nation? Is wickedness great in the earth? Is our nation a safe place to live? Is there any place on the earth a safe place to live? That tells you that wickedness is great, and wickedness will become greater. We have never seen or heard of so much wickedness in our lifetime. The intent of the thought of man's heart, only evil continually in Noah's day and in Lot's day. Is this world on that path today? Let's go back to Genesis chapter 6, beginning in verse 6, and let God tell us how it was in the days of Noah. Genesis 6, verse 6. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart, because God had looked down, and he saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth. So the Lord said in verse 7, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing, birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made man. God made man for a special purpose, my friends, and when he looked down and he saw that wickedness was so great that he was going to have to destroy mankind, you can imagine how sorry God was to see that, how it hurt God. Yes, it hurt God to see man, the masterpiece of his creation, going completely contrary against him. In verse 8, But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now think about that, my friends. Who knows how many millions or billions of people there might have been on earth at that time, but only one man struggling and striving to obey his Maker. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generation. Noah walked with God. Now, how did he walk with God? Did God come down and just walk every day with Noah and take a walk every day? No, he didn't do that. It means that Noah was living by the word of God. Noah was giving himself to God. He understood the purpose of life. He understood why he was born and where he was going. And he was living in that path to get there. Verse 8 says, "And Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth." And verse 11 says, "The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence." And verse 12, "So God looked up on the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth." Sounds like our day today, doesn't it? Sounds like the world today. It sounds like our nation, my friends. And indeed it is. We're coming closer and closer to being exactly like they were in the days of Noah. "And God said to Noah," in verse 13, "The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth." And God didn't want to have to do that. It wasn't God's intentions to do that at all when he created man. God wanted man to have a joyful, peaceable, healthy life. He wanted man to reach his destination. He wanted man to obey him so God could bless him and give him a joyful, peaceable life. So there would be good marriages and good neighbors, good crops, good weather, and everything that you really want, my friend, comes from obeying God. And everything that you don't want comes from obeying Satan. That's the world that was in existence at that time, and that's the world that we live in today, and we're almost as bad as it were in the days of Noah. Now, how was it in the days of Lot? Let's let the Bible tell us as well how it was in the days of Lot. In Genesis 19, it began to tell us. In verse 1 of Genesis chapter 19, "Now two angels came to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. When Lot saw them, he rose to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the earth." Now, I doubt if Lot was the only one sitting in the gate of Sodom. But he was the only one that rose, the only one that had hospitality, the only one that had courtesy left. He rose and greeted them and invited them to his home. And who knows how many others were sitting out there with Lot at that time. It gives you an idea that there was no courtesy, no respect left. In verse 2, he said, "Hear now, my lords, please turn into your servant's house and spend the night and wash your feet. Then you may rise early and go on your way." And they said, "No, but we will spend the night in the city." I see my time is up. We'll pick this up in our next program. In the meantime, keep listening to the Way It Ought to Be program on this station and on several others that you may be able to pick up in your area. We have a couple of booklets that you should request and that you should read. "The Devil, You Say." My friends, you need to know your enemy. You need to know what he is up to. You know, in time of war, each side tries to know the other side, what they're up to. And we're in war with Satan. Satan had declared war on mankind, and he is winning the war in his age. But there's a time coming when he will be stopped, thanks to God. And all you need to do to receive these booklets is just call us, the Marble Hill Church of God, 573-238-3675, or email us at thewayitoughtobe@hotmail.com. This is Pete Hornbuckle on behalf of the Marble Hill Church of God. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for listening to Pete Hornbuckle and the Way It Ought to Be program, presented by the faithful members and co-workers of the Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, located on County Road 300, one block north of the Cat Ranch in Marble Hill. Meeting Saturday, the Sabbath, at 2 p.m. You can listen to our previously recorded broadcasts or order free literature on our website at www.thewayitoughtobe.org or call us at 573-238-3675 or email us at thewayitoughtobe@hotmail.com. Our address is Marble Hill Church of God Seventh-day, Post Office Box 615, Marble Hill, Missouri,